Oh, my nose. I think my hands kind of bad. I'm not on.
Oh, really?
Matthew Rich.
Well, I
bring you another bulletin. Can you bring me another bulletin,
morning. Ken, welcome.
Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Church. We'll start off this morning with any announcements. The first announcement is Kids for Christ tonight at 5:00. Like all the kids show up, we're going to have a little Valentine's party, so that ought to be sweet. And then the CPWM will be meeting Tuesday at 7:00, and we're also going to be having a little Valentine's thing. And then Pam's got something real quick.
Yeah, this is it. I'm headed to Sam's right now to get items for the tornado victims to take to Elkie Field. And I just thought I'd put it out there if anybody wanted to donate money or anything like that. I'll just get as much as I can get with what we've got. I was going to take it to Elkie Field today to be delivered. So if anybody's interested, just I'll be back here for just a second.
Christian Education will meet tonight, and I guess you need to, and Gary's committee will meet tonight, not eat, but meet. And I guess you need to check with your chair, Sharon. Okay, and also, Susan, do you have something? Go ahead. Okay, and I think there's several left, right, Susan? Okay. Are there any other announcements? Mr. John. Okay. Retirees out of Sam. Okay, are there any other general announcements? Okay, we're going to move on to our prayer list. I'm up here today because Karen Miles' aunt passed away in the funeral today, and her name is
Joyce Perdue.
Okay, Joyce Perdue. Are there any other announcements as far as prayer list? John? Oh, Diane.
Thank you.
Other announcements? John. Please be reminded to put names on the little cards and put it in the offering plate so we can get correct name spellings is the main reason for that. Are there any first-time visitors before we move on that would like to be recognized? Okay, I guess everyone's been with us before, and welcome again. Let's pause for a moment of silence while we prepare our minds for worship. Amen. Worship this morning is taken from Psalms 89, 1 and 2, and it is responsive. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever.
With my mouth, I will make His faithfulness known to all generations.
I will declare that Your love stands firm forever.
That You have established Your faithfulness in heaven itself.
Pretend that I'm Sam this morning. I'm really happy Sam's back. I was so thrilled this morning to see him. And then he can't sing. It always blesses me when Sam leaves. So just be thinking of Sam this morning and just be happy that we're all here together and that Don and Sam are back safely. Turn to page 306 in your hymnal and we will sing Jesus Saves. And let's sing all four verses because this is very important. Everybody stand up, please.
We have heard the truth of Jesus' name, Jesus' name, spread the tidings all around, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, and the truth to every man, by the seas and broken waves.
Bow with me as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior, to rescue us from Satan, from sin, to take away our sin, to give us new life, and Father, to set us on a path that ends never, of eternity, in your kingdom that we know is heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wait till the end of this life to begin to experience the joys of heaven and the blessings in your presence, that you come and abide with us and live with us in this life, but in a life full and abundant. Lord, help us as believers saved by Jesus that we can experience the abundance that you promise and that you offer as your children. Thank you that we can come and sing about our salvation, sing with fervor, sing with conviction, sing with the ability to let others believe that it's real in our lives. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to leave heaven, the glories of heaven, and come to a mean earth where they cause you to suffer and bleed, where you were willing to die on our behalf. Thank you that you provided salvation for all who would believe. Thank you that we offer this in your holy name. Now praying as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us remain standing and express in words that which we believe through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confession this morning is taken from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The prayer of confession this morning, if you will follow along with me in unison. Almighty, who art rich in mercy to all those who call upon thee, hear us, come sing humbly the sins and transgressions, and imploring thy mercy and forgiveness. We have broken thy holy laws by our deeds and by our words, and by the sinful affections of our hearts. We confess before thee our disobedience and ingratitude, our pride and willfulness. and all our failures and shortcomings toward Thee and toward our fellow men. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and may God... Please be in our newness of life, merit and meditation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Assurance of forgiveness. He, Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them.
Turn to 338 in your hymnal, and we're going to sing all four verses out at Calvary.
Thank you. special blessing to the church, and I hope the two families this morning, the lenders, have made a decision to place their membership in our midst as official members of our congregation. So if Carl and Nancy and Lauren will come forward, and the Schaefers have made a decision to place their membership in our congregation. If you'll come forward, Harold and Angie. The lenders we've known a short while. They come from the Northeast, and they have seemingly fit in from our side real well in, well, the Mid-South, I guess. We're not quite the Deep South yet. And so we welcome you again to the community. And actually, Harold and Angie are from the Midwest, the northern part of it, and but they've lived here, what, 30 years? And they have been part of the church, but after a friendship of 25 years with this church, Harold and I have known each other for about 19 or 20 and been close friends, and Angelina too, Angie, but her, your name is Angelina, is that right? Yeah, when she tells it, it's Angelina. And we, Harold found me at the election of all places that you find people that want to talk about the church. And I was voting, and Harold was in charge of the local election and for the nomination for president. And before I got here, he said, "Sit down, I want to talk to you." And he was in charge, so I thought I better sit down. And so he did, and we talked, and then went yesterday and visited with him and caught him up on Cumberland Presbyterianism. Actually, reviewed a few things, just went over things they already knew, and then left them a lot to read about the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And the lenders, they gave me 2 hours Friday night, and we rushed through it. And Lauren got tired, and we sent her off to rest or maybe to take a nap. Is that right, Lauren? But we're glad that we got you through the basics, I guess. We talked about becoming a Christian and reaffirming that and what our church understands about that. Church covenant, the sacraments, we kind of touched on them, at least left reading information concerning them. And then I think we left talked a little bit about worship and Bible study, and then living as a Christian and growing as a Christian, or at least left some handouts with a lot of scripture on them, and then about 10 pages about the how the Cumberland Presbyterian Church came into existence, and most books were about that, and I condensed it down to about that, about 10 pages. But anyhow, real small print. So, they come this morning to unite with our church, and actually, to take a transfer of membership, we can ask one question. But I like, and I've talked to them about this, let's go over 5 questions, and it's where I say, will you, I'll try to remember to say, will you continue? If you observe these folks for, what, a number of months, number of years, they are doing their best, or they are making a great attempt to live for Jesus and honor Him and glorify Him. You see it in the home, you see it in the church, see it in the community. So may I, so come together. We don't want to keep you separated. Also, at the end of the service, they're going to make their way back here to the front of the church, and you can come then and offer your congratulations, your welcome, your hugs, and your words of warning as well as encouragement, okay? Okay. You have repented of your sin and believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. Yes or no? The Scriptures, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, 66 books, 39 and 27. Do you believe these to be the Word of God, the source of authority for faith and practice? And are you reading and studying them for guidance in living the Christian life? The local church. Placing your membership in a local church is just not a formality. It's a commitment to that local church, or to Christ through that local church. Do you promise to be a faithful member of this church by participating in worship, sharing in its ministry of witness and service, supporting the government of the church, and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Temptation. And Lauren, I used to say to the teenagers, temptations are out there. Even to scream at your teacher sometimes when she gives you too much homework. Because I remember doing that kind of, and I got more homework than anybody else in the class. So I can warn you, there's that temptation is there. And there are many other temptations for gray-headed people, Santa Claus-looking people, and middle-aged too. Are we striving to overcome temptation and weakness, grow in knowledge and grace, and practice love in all relationships as you are strengthened in your personal discipleship by your life in the church that we call the community of faith? Yes. Okay. Stewards of the blessings that God has poured upon you. One is your life. One is your talent. One is your time. And one is your substance. In church, we don't like to talk about money sometimes, do we? But money. Do you promise to be good stewards, or are you attempting to be good stewards of the life, the talents, the time, and the money which God has entrusted to you, giving of these gifts to the work of the church in this community? I'm going to offer you the right hand of Christian fellowship as pastor of this church, and you will make your way back here at the end of the service, and others will come and do likewise. Let us pray. Lord God, we know this is a very special moment. It is for these individuals. It is for us. We believe it is for you as they cast their lot with us to be a part of this congregation, working in this community. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray that all will be to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, it's children's time now with Miss Andrea, and then we will have children's church right after the message. Well, we have Valentine's coming up this week, don't we? And this week, I got an email from a friend of mine, and it really, really touched my heart. There is a nurse, and this is a true story, and when she works on the children's floor of the hospital, and when she has a young child, you know, that's getting ready to have maybe an operation or anything of that nature, and she's got to check their heart, she always lets them listen, and she puts, you know, the things in their ears, and then she lets them listen to their heart. And one day she did that, and she had never gotten this reaction from one of the children. It was a little boy, 4 years old, and she asked him, you know, did he want to listen? And he said yes, but she never would tell them what they were going to be listening to, just wanted them to listen to something. So she put the stethoscope, that's what this is called, into his ears, and she placed this on the chest area so he could listen. And she said, what is that? And he thought real hard and kind of, you know, got his eyebrows like this, thinking real hard, and he went, I know what it is. And she said, what? It's Jesus knocking. And she was so touched by that, because that face of that little child who was just 4 years old knew Jesus was knocking on his heart. Now, in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, and I want y'all to remember this as we approach Valentine's and all through the year, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and it's Jesus that's standing and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. So, Jesus does knock on our hearts, because we carry Jesus in our heart, don't we, as believers? We carry him with us each and every day.
And with Valentine coming up, what a great time to share the love of our Lord Jesus with someone. Because you know what? They will always have a Valentine on Valentine's Day. And it's the best Valentine ever. You can never top it. So remember that as you go through Valentine's Day, if you have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus that you have in your heart, share it.
Our offertory sentence this morning is from Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all His bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. If the ushers will please come forward.
Focus of our attention and the opposite. helping him also enter our heart as the source of our salvation and the source of our joy. And we just thank you, dear Lord, for your persistence in knocking and never giving up till we open up and receive you. We thank you for all of the new blessings. Permit us now as an expression of our thanks to return a portion of that to you. Please accept these gifts, these tithes, and let them be used to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 14, 15 through 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The word of God for the people of God.
And praise be to God. Excuses. Many of you remember a gospel song where this kind of gospel song singing comedian wrote kind of a funny song and about the excuses people make for staying away from the Lord's house. Well, that's not what I'm going to preach about this morning. But the excuses are all there. But if you read the excuses, you will find that just read them. Who would buy an oxen or a pair of oxen and never try it out? One person suggested that the guy that made the excuse was just lying. Or who would buy a piece of land and never look at it? Well, they might get an oceanfront property in Arizona if they did that. Right? Or a swamp land. So, and then about the wife, it was. The law said if a man married a wife, this is Levitical law. You can go back in Leviticus and find it. If a man married a wife, he didn't have to go to the army for a year. He's supposed to stay home and take care of that wife. Okay? We'll talk about a banquet. God's banquet. You might say God's heaven. Or you might look at the church as the entrance point. In most cases, into the kingdom of God. I came into the kingdom through the church. Probably you did too. You may have picked up a Gideon Bible in a hotel room and read it and committed your life to the Lord. Anybody to have that testimony this morning? Trusted the Lord as your Savior. You may have heard a sermon on television and committed your life to the Lord. Or maybe on radio. Anybody have that testimony this morning? So, how many of us heard the gospel through school? And I remember hearing it, but that was a long time ago. And public school. Private school? Private school. I went to a public school, and I still remember a sermon the guy preached. He preached about Noah. And he embellished the story a great bit.
and Phil spoke to me. And that's not when I committed my life to the Lord. I think I already had at that time, as I try to relate back. We could have chapel. You get out of class if you went to chapel. And spoke to me. I think it was Youth for Christ or some organization like that. And but it's unlikely that you hear about Jesus, hear about heaven, salvation, anywhere outside the church or a church-sponsored related event. How many of you came into the kingdom of God? We got saved of the influence of the church. We'll put it like that. And I'm going to guess most of us did. Most of us did. Might have been a little country church. Might have been a big city church. Might have been something in between. Maybe a big country church. We'll talk about the banquet. Jesus uses the word banquet. Luke chapter 14, 15 and 24. But I want to go back to the first of this chapter. I think I need to put this in context. And I could even say that the Lord led me to do this. And He may have. And I thought He did. Or I would have done it. But I didn't. As I read this, I didn't want to just go right into the invitation or the challenge to invite people. Or Jesus says, what was the context of this? Where does it come from? What led up to this? And as you read the first 14 verses of the Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter, you can find that. It all started on a Sabbath. That's when this event happened. Now, we take off, hopefully, on Sunday. I try to. But being a preacher, I still have to work. And then Sunday school teachers come and work on Sundays. And then song leaders and pianists and all that. But we're coming to bring glory to God. But the Sabbath is a day of rest. And at one time, Sunday was generally a day of rest for most people. Even in the community I grew up in, wasn't really that religious, but when a man started crying on Sunday, the neighbors got together and went to him and said, out of respect, out of respect for our children and our families, would you not run your tractor on Sunday? He was one of the biggest farmers in the community, and hopefully they went to him nicely. Later, I remember, he started to the church that I attended after my time, after I had departed the community. So at least the church didn't offend him too much by asking to do that. Maybe it was the right thing to do. We might be a little fearful of doing that today, but it might be some good thing. But this event happened on a Sunday, a day of rest, and there were strict rules. And you can go back and read them, but I won't try to tell you about all of them. And I just know just the bits and pieces about the strict rules that were forced to be observed in Jesus' day. What one could do on the Sabbath and what one could not do. And it was not much you could do on the Sabbath. My mom had some stories even about, she didn't live back then, I mean back in Jesus' day, but that would have been a long time, wasn't it? But in her growing up years, I guess she was born in 1913, and so when she was in 1920s, and the 20s were roaring 20s, they were not religious times, if we read a little history, but they lived in the country, they were poor, and they had strict rules, and she would tell us, kids, we were going to cut something with the scissors or sew something that was torn or something. Or maybe we were so bored on a Sunday afternoon and we'd want to do something. And she'd say, kids, when we were kids, we couldn't even pick up a pair of scissors on Sunday. And she would tell us these stories over and over. It's kind of like those stories where I don't know how truthful they were, but she remembered at least one time, and she told us, she thought it happened all the time, that they couldn't do any work on Sunday. And it's kind of like, I put it in the same category, those walking to school every day, 5 miles, uphill both ways, to there and back, snow on the ground every day from September to May, you know. And that's the story that we all heard somewhere, right? Maybe. The blue laws. We lived in Arkansas. We didn't live in Little Rock, but Little Rock had some of the strictest blue laws. and they would write stories about them when they were trying to bring them. They would arrest drugstore owners. Drugstores, they could sell certain things. And they would list the things that you could sell on Sunday and what things you couldn't sell on Sunday. And it made no sense whatsoever. If you could sell one, you ought to be able to sell the other. Now, I wish that we still observe a day of rest on Sunday. I think the Spirit needs the rest. That we need to get away. And I've experienced that I have to have one day that I'm kind of away from everything. If I don't, I get physically sick. And it took me about 20 years to learn this. And then, pray tell, I started scheduling counseling meetings on Monday night 2 weeks ago, and then last week, and I've got to adjust that somewhere, because I need that time for me to recuperate and for me and God to connect and for me to rest. Then there's some stories about some mules and the mines that had to have a day of rest or they would die pretty quickly because they're trying to work them 7 days a week. Even a mule, and some people stubborn as a mule, needs a day of rest. On this particular Sabbath, Jesus was at the house of a Pharisee. Evidently, he had been invited there for a meal. He was there to eat a meal. And he was having a meal at this house. Now, the Pharisee was a keeper of the law. It was their job, a part of their job, to see that the minute blue laws, as we might call them, were observed. That a person didn't walk too far on a Sunday to break the Sabbath, that he didn't do too much work. Maybe he had to go out and feed the animals or give them water or whatever, but there was a limit to what you could do. And they were also, the teenagers need to hear this, or maybe some of us old ones, they were careful to observe anybody that broke the laws that if you broke them, you could be punished by stoning to death. So, if any teenagers need to hear this, if you cursed your parents, they could see to it that you were stoned to death. And that was just one thing. And so it was God felt that it was pretty important that we honor our parents in the Lord. The New Testament added to it. But honor our parents. In this house, with these people, at least the owner of the house, the master of the house, was a Pharisee, one who was to observe the law. Jesus was being watched. He was not among friends. Luke chapter 4. And I think we need to go back to verse 14. Verse 14. Of chapter 4 of Luke, we find that Jesus in his own hometown had gone to the synagogue and they had handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The scroll was opened and they turned to chapter 61, what we would know as chapter 61 of Isaiah, and began to read. And he began to read about the salvation being preached to the poor and the healing and sight for blind eyes. So he read from that and he handed the scroll back to the person in charge of the scroll and he sat down and he said, "Today, this that Isaiah said is being fulfilled in your own eyes." Says, "I'm the one that Isaiah was writing about back then. I was talking about when he made this prophecy." He says, "I have come to fulfill this prophecy, to preach freedom, preach release to the captives, preach a great life in the kingdom of God." Well, some people did not like this. I said he was not among friends here. He was not among friends back in his hometown. When he first started talking, people were amazed at what he said.
But as he continued to tell them certain things, and you can read that between verse 14 or 15 or 16, where he sat down and said, read this prophecy, then said, I'm here to fulfill it. I'm the one to fulfill it. I'm the one that Isaiah was talking about. And then he began to tell them a few things, and you can read that as follows. So he said, as he talked on, the people in the synagogue were filled with anger. You read first, it says they were amazed at what he said. Wow, we have a fulfillment of prophecy. But when he began to interpret it a little more, they were not so amazed. They were angry. It says they were filled with anger. And as they listened, they weren't just angry. They wanted to kill him. So they took him out, they got him out some way to the edge of a cliff. And they were attempting to throw him over the edge of a cliff. Now we find again where Satan, in the fourth chapter of Luke, in the first, 13 verses, I guess, where he was tempted by Satan, Satan had taken him to this high pinnacle of the temple and said, throw yourself down and prove that you are the Son of God. Well, these people, they were going to throw him over themselves. But it says a miracle. I think it was a miracle. He just walked through them. He left and went on to somewhere else. He passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Also, it may be the same event that John relates, but a very similar event at least. In John chapter 8, in verse 58, he made some people so angry, according to that verse, that they wanted to kill him also. Likely. And I can say likely because it doesn't really say, but I can think it did. I think we can just figure out that it did. Word of what happened back in Nazareth, his hometown, likely this word followed him. We're told that Jesus never traveled much over 100 miles. So there's some legends that have him going to Japan and all of like that. It may have happened, but it may not have happened. There's some legends that have him coming to the United States. He may have. It's okay with me if he did, but our Bible doesn't tell about that. And our Bible is the infallible rule of faith and practice. And it didn't attempt to tell everything about Jesus, but it told us enough. So, as far as our Bible indicates, Jesus never traveled more than 100 miles from where he was. As you kind of, it tells, he went here and he went here and he went here. Somebody figured that out. 100 miles from Jerusalem or from his home. So, if he went a little further than that, that was okay with me. So I'm not questioning that. But likely, word traveled over that 100 miles or thereabout and got to where he was and at this experience. And these religious leaders, they had heard about him, and they were probably trying to find fault with him too. And you read on and on. As you read it, they were trying to find fault with him. Many, many verses. There was a man present here who had a dropsy. Do you know what dropsy is? All I can know about dropsy is my grandmother had it. And she lived years with dropsy. One leg swollen. One leg swollen. Step down. Bigger than the other, and they said it was dropsy, and I assumed that it was kind of congestive heart failure where fluid builds up in the body, if I got all that right. Maybe I didn't, but not a doctor. But there was a man present at the meal who had dropsy. Jesus saw him, so Jesus said to him, would it be okay if I heal this man today? He said to them, would it be okay if I heal this man? It was a Sabbath, remember. Could he do that work on the Sabbath? There's one place where he told a man to take up his bed and walk, and they got on to Jesus for doing that, got on the man for carrying his bed on. No one answered a word. So Jesus healed the man. I guess he thought, silence yields consent. But I don't think he cared. He was going to heal the man anyway. And he gives, after that, he gave the ox in the ditch.
example. You know about the ox in the ditch, don't you? If your ox falls, Jesus says, well, folks, evidently they found, you know, conjecture, suggestion, thought, but evidently they found. They didn't approve. He could tell. What is he doing? Healing somebody on the Sabbath? But what he said, folks, if your ox falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, won't you get him out? Silent. If your donkey falls in the ditch, won't you get him out? One version says, if your son falls in the ditch, your son or your oxen, doesn't say your donkey or your oxen. If somebody gets stuck in a ditch, is it okay to get them out on the Sabbath? Silence. But Jesus was saying, but we have misused that one. We've done everything on the Sabbath saying, our ox was in the ditch, have we not? We have. Okay. But he gave that lesson right there. And Jesus observed how the people chose their seats. He looked around and saw how they were... They didn't say a word about when he said that, but about the ox. But he looked around, and I guess silence was deafening, huh? I don't know, but read it. And he looked around and he saw how they were choosing their seats. And somebody needs to say something at this gathering. Let's just don't all be shut mouth. And so he said, well, he gave a lesson on who God's people should invite to a meal and why. But he told them when they come into a place, says to a banquet, don't go to the front seat because there may be somebody more important coming in and they'll ask you to leave and you will be asked to move down and let this person take your seat. So he's really saying, be humble with your life. Don't be arrogant. Don't come in and try to take the front seats and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We see even the people in Corinth hadn't learned that when Paul started writing about the communion service in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But he says, when you come into a meal, take the lower seat, and then if they invite you up to the head table, okay, come up, but if you take the head table first, they come and say, that was really for somebody else, you will be embarrassed. So, trying to save people embarrassment. I think he cares for our embarrassment, but also trying to teach humbleness. And then he gave a lesson on don't invite the people to dinner at your house that can pay you back. Invite those who cannot pay you back. Show some mercy on people. And then he told why. And then finally one of the guests spoke up. They had listened to him talk all they could, and they had to say something. And they said, blessed is he who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Now this was a long expected feast when these Jewish people expected God to break into history and it was going to be like a big banquet. You may have heard Campolo's sermon that's traveled all over the world by tape and internet, and as he traveled he gave it. The kingdom of God is a party. He tells about going to Hawaii and giving a party for a birthday party for a prostitute, and he found at 2 o'clock in the morning in the coffee shop there when he couldn't sleep. And it's a beautiful sermon. It's a moving sermon. But where'd he get there? Kingdom of God is a party. Kingdom of God is a man. And the Jewish people were waiting for that God just to enter in and cause a banquet. And host a banquet where they would eat. Part of the meal would be one of the serpents out of Revelation. I think I'm right on that. Something of that nature. Okay. Jesus replied with a parable about inviting people into God's kingdom. And so we get to the meat of the matter, or we get to the main part of the sermon. All of that was to set up for this. This was happened at the same event where Jesus came to eat at this man's house. And there was a host, the master of the house. He represented God. God calls people into his kingdom. Jesus was saying, you Jewish people, God has invited you to his banquet. But then we have some people who made excuses. People Jesus was eating with, he said, he was saying, folks, God has invited you into his kingdom, but you have rejected it. You've made all kinds of excuses.
and you Pharisees. He was trying to show them what a great opportunity that they were passing up. And then we read about the servant. There were some servants in this story. And Jesus says, the master of the house sent out his servant. Those servants, one of them was Jesus. The master servant, if you will. The suffering servant, he is called. Especially from Isaiah 52 and 53. And other places in Isaiah. But he came as a servant. But also the apostles. And also you and I. We are the servants. And Jesus is talking about the servants that God calls through Jesus to help him bring people into the kingdom of God. And if you notice, servant is not singular. It has an S on it. Plural. So it's the servants of God. Jesus, those he calls, and those who have come through their message, which includes us. Not just the preacher. It's too big a job for the preacher. It's too big a job to fill these. I think I counted 40-something seats. If we filled, we'd be pretty full. And I can't get 40 people to come. I had some other people going to come to church this morning. They said, we'll be there. But they're not here, folks. Try again, Larry. Try somebody else, Larry. Okay, but I can't get all of those people. You need to bring some people to church. That's who Jesus is talking about. And then, those who came. The ones who came to this banquet in this parable were not the ones that they had first planned for. They refused to come. They made excuses. But there were still some who were ready to come. So Jesus says, go out and get some others. These won't come. I got a banquet prepared. I got a heaven prepared. Go get some more people to fill this heaven. So they went out and got them. They came back and said, so we've done what you said, but there's still room. So there's more room for others. Friends, heaven is big. Some people say there will be 144,000 people there and everybody else will be on a separate level. Can I say hogwash? Heaven, God can make it as big as it needs to be for all who will trust in Him. More room for others. And he said, go out and compel them to come in. Now, we have to be, one time they went out, and if they wouldn't come, they'd kill them. Bad interpretation of go out and make them come in or compel them to come in. They would. Spanish Inquisition and other things. It happened. But a terrible interpretation of that compel or make them come in. But with reasonable sense, go out and invite them in. There's more room for others. And Jesus says, go that my banquet table might be full. If people get invited to the banquet of God, it will very likely be through the local church. And it will very likely be by a layperson. You know, the preacher is supposed to do that. We're not going down there. He's doing his job. He's getting paid to do that. But if a layperson says, come with me, think about it. I want to sing the closing song. And it's not 150, whatever. It is, it's 452. And it's Make Me a Blessing. And I'm not taking over the singing, but I want to sing the first stanza and the second stanza. And then sing the chorus. The first stanza, the second stanza, and the chorus. And it's a prayer. Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to those who do not know you. Make me a blessing to those who need an invitation to the banquet of God or the kingdom of heaven. Let's sing. 452. Verse 1, verse 2, then the chorus. Maybe your response will be a public one this morning. I invite you here to the altar area, if that be the case.